You're listening to Foresight, a podcast about making work better. I'm your co-host, Mark Edgar, a former consultant and coach who now works as a chief people officer on a mission to make work more human.
And I'm Naomi Teitelman, a former big firm consultant and HR executive, now striving to make work better one organization and one leader at a time. Every week, we'll discuss the latest trends that are impacting the new world of work to help you be a better leader for the future. So a nice segue to talk about AI, because you, of course, were at Transform inspiring others and specifically talking about AI and HR. And the Burson company recently released an AI assistant called Galileo. So can you talk a little bit about its genesis and how it works?
Absolutely. So the thing that I did there is I was on the stage with Joel Hellermark, who's the founder of Sana, who's the platform company we work with. So the history of this is, I'm not here to promote it, although obviously I'd love everybody to use it, but really to give you a story of how to do AI in your own company. We, more than a year ago, I hired an engineer who I knew, a very, very bright engineer. And I said to him, do you think you could stick our research reports into ChatGPT and see what would happen? And sure enough, we did it. We built this thing we called the HR Copilot at the time. And we put all of our, 25 years of research in there, all of the blogs I had written, which is more than almost 1,000, 300 podcasts, a bunch of stuff from our academy, a bunch of other, materials that we had, tools, and we just stuck it in there. And we started asking it questions. And originally, my co-founder, Bill, was kind of joking with me. He goes, we don't need a search engine. Why are you wasting time on that? And I said, Bill, this isn't really a search engine. It's a little bit different from that. And, remember generative AI, we didn't really know what it was at the time. But, what we found was that you could ask it questions about HR that were cross-functional or more problem-oriented, and it would answer them spectacularly well. And we trained it and basically developed it so it would show you the source. So everything you asked it, it would show you, not only would it answer the question extremely well, but you could say, give me case studies, show me what vendors apply, what are the benchmarks I should be considering, can you give me an implementation plan, how about writing me an RFP, can you give me an executive summary of this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it would show you where the research came from. So instead of people calling us up and saying, hey, do you have any research on XYZ? And us trying to rack our brains and think about what all the research was that they should be looking at, it prevented people from that search problem, and they didn't necessarily have to read the whole report to get the answer of what they needed. As soon as we showed it to customers, which we did very soon, they loved it, and they said, great, can I stick my content in it too? And we said, whoa, hey, hang on a minute. We got one engineer working on this. We can't build a whole platform. So we had a lot of soul searching about what we were going to do. And we eventually found these wonderful guys at Sana, who I had known earlier, who are basically an AI-based learning and knowledge platform. And we moved the technology over to Sana. And so we now have it in a more enterprise scale platform, which allows you to add your content to it. So you can basically use the corpus of content that we're building, and we're constantly adding to this. And you can add to it your policies, your pay practices, your hiring practices, your leadership models, and it will become the expert of HR in your company based on the practices and best practices and models and so forth that we've done as well. And we've been rolling it out now. We're giving it to all of our corporate members right now this month. They'll all be getting it in March and April, and they're loving it. And it does all sorts of amazing things that we never thought it was going to be able to do. And the reason that I think it's so educational for HR is a lot of HR departments aren't really sure what to do with AI, the applications of it, what do we need to know about prompt engineering, about data, about security. Galileo basically is an example of a platform that you can learn all of that from, and you can use it for many, many, many of your HR applications, including giving employees access to information on how to do their jobs too. It's obviously really good for HR people, but so that's been our journey. Now that we've been in it for a while and we've been using it, there's a whole bunch of, interesting things that happen. First of all, just sticking a report into ChatGPT and asking it questions is fun, but you actually have to train it, because you might ask it a question using a word that it doesn't understand. Like in our case, the word maturity model is kind of a loaded word because it refers to something that we do. If you say EX, it doesn't know that that means employee experience. So you have to train it with all sorts of jargon. You have to teach it how to look at tables and charts and pull numbers out of tables and charts. You need to teach it how to answer questions about use cases. Like if I say to Galileo, give me an example of 5 companies that have implemented a skills taxonomy, it has to know I'm talking about end user companies and not vendors. It has to know what a vendor is, because we have, by the way, we also have hundreds and hundreds of vendor profiles in there. So, you know, you get one question, you could say, what's the difference between Eightfold and Vizier and say Gloat? And the next question is, how does General Motors do high volume hiring? So there's things like that we had to teach it. But that's the learning experience, is that these are very, very, very powerful tools. You do get into the issue of data security. So in our case, you know, it's all our content. This system doesn't touch the internet, so there's no untrusted content in it because we know what's in it. But in a company, when you start loading stuff and you let other people load stuff, you got to decide who's allowed to load stuff and who's going to update it when it gets out of date, things like that. As I was talking about at dinner with a bunch of people, once people look at a tool like this, they start to say, well, wait a minute, what's my job? I thought I was supposed to be answering these questions. Mm-hmm. And I think the answer to that is what happens is you still have a job, but part of your job is to keep the corpus up to date and obviously learn from it and to deal with the higher level issues that are maybe not written down or haven't been captured in the organization yet to keep all of the business issues current and relevant. So it's really a way for everybody to get smarter, to share knowledge in a much, much more effective and efficient way, and then to upskill yourself. You know, many, many of the HR people using it have told me they just keep it open in their browser and they're saving, you know, hours a day of looking things up and asking questions just by having it available as needed. They're not losing their jobs. Nobody's losing their jobs. It's just really making them much, much more productive. So it's been very, very exciting for us. And, you know, the other thing for people that are in the publishing business or consulting or knowledge information or, you know, distribution, you know, we used to spend all these, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars building websites and search engines and deciding where to put reports and how to lay out the user interface so people could go find what they needed. We don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's magic.
It's very, very different and very, very powerful. And I think it's going to be a huge transformation in the business of being an expert and distributing and publishing information.
Yeah, it sounds really, really exciting. And I'm excited. I mean, I don't think there are any HR teams out there saying, I don't have enough to do, right? And the promise of implementing these service delivery models, you know, a decade or two ago was that there would be more self-service and therefore we'd be able to do more higher value strategic thinking and working. But that was never delivered because the service delivery model never quite got there in terms of the service delivery, the self-service part of it. So this is an amazing way to support HR teams who, again, I think have plenty on their plate. There's so much hitting our plates every single day.
So, you know, it's one thing to look up the answer to a question and have the system kind of teach you something you need to know. But what if you want a course? What if you want a video? What if you ask the question something like, how do I build a skills taxonomy? And you kind of read the answer and you say, well, I need some more education on that. These systems can both identify and create instructional content too. So we have a whole academy of courses. And right now, what we're doing is just pointing people over there. But I guarantee you within a year, we're going to be dynamically generating instructional content in Galileo.
Yeah.
You know, at the bottom of every query, it asks you a whole bunch of things. You know, do you want to know more about this, this, and this? And it might ask you, would you like a 15-minute overview course on the topic?
Right.
Generated dynamically based on your, you know, level of expertise.
Yeah. That's so fascinating. Yeah. It's really fascinating. Is it able to then go and hire people too that you need to your team? Because that would
well,
be
you
the
know,
magic.
You look at these tools like Paradox and another one that I just saw today that are, you know, hiring chatbots. I don't see any reason why, you know, the Galileo type of AI couldn't be connected to the hiring systems pretty directly. So, you know, companies are starting to ask us for all sorts of integrations, and I think that's absolutely the next step here.
Very, very exciting. Congratulations. I look forward to seeing it in action.
Thank you. It's been really, really fun. I mean, the other thing I would say for people in HR is, you know, don't be afraid of this stuff. Find a platform you're comfortable with, whether it's ours or somebody else's, and just start playing around with it, because you'll be surprised how much time you're wasting.
Yeah.
On, you know, documentation, courses, you know, compliance stuff that's actually way easier to do in an AI platform.
Yeah, totally. We were just talking about a report on a previous podcast recording about the top skills that are identified in job postings. And still, a couple of them were Microsoft Office, Excel, and compliance. And right. Mark and I looked at each other and we're like, oh boy, this is a problem, right? Because it looks like 3 out of the 5 skills are being automated as we speak, right? And so really getting to that next level is really critical for our HR colleagues.
Well, and you know, the way, you know, now that I've been, you know, because we have access to Galileo, we're using this stuff all the time. My expectations have gone up so much. Mm-hmm. I don't even use Google that much anymore.
Right, yeah.
I don't have the patience to go through 15 pages of ads to find something I want. So once you start using these tools, they become like Excel. You just,
yeah.
It's just a tool.
Yeah.
You're not marveled by the answer anymore. In fact, right. You're disappointed, like, how come that answer doesn't give me... I'm going to ask that again.
Yeah, or in a different way. We actually just had a prompt engineering for HR workshop a couple of weeks ago, and it sold out, or it was free, but it was filled up within a week. Like, it was so popular. And there were five principles that the expert, you know, coached us through. And it's true. Like, you have to make sure the reference material is, you know, is correct, and you're telling it only to go to the reference material.
Well, let me tell you a funny story on that. So, yeah, because we've been playing around with it so much. So the typical question somebody will ask is a very generic question, because that's what you're generally used to doing with
right.
Google. You'll say, what is a best practice for reducing turnover in a sales organization?
Right.
Which is a kind of a general question. So you get a general answer. Well, actually, what you should ask is, I'm the sales leader of a team of 15 people selling pharmaceuticals to large companies. 3 of my people are coming in late. 2 of them are doing great, and the other 5 are mid-level performers. Would you give me some best practices on what you suggest I do to improve the performance of the team, cite some examples, and give me some research to help me understand that?
And yeah.
If you're that specific, Galileo will give you very specific answers relative to the pharmaceutical industry and give you examples.
Wow.
You know, think about, you know, so because that would have been a 30 to 45 minute conversation with a consultant to get to the point of even asking that question.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I mean, this prompting stuff is really interesting.
Yeah, it's a really important skill. It's a really, really important skill. And HR professionals tend to be a bit hesitant to dive in. So we've been really encouraging our community to just dive in and experiment.
Well, I think it's going to go way fast. Once you get access to a good system and you just get a little bit of time with it.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to learn how to use it pretty fast.
Yeah. So on that note, where's a good place to start for those of us who are kind of feeling deer caught in the headlights? Where to start?
Well, I mean, you can certainly use Galileo for those of you that are affiliated with us, and we're going to make it available to individuals later in the year. It's right now, it's only corporate. What I do myself, the way I've gotten to know this stuff, other than using our own platform, is I use all of the LLMs. So I use Claude, I use Perplexity, I use Gemini, I use ChatGPT, I use the Microsoft Copilot. The ChatGPT experience I have is actually a little bit less powerful than the others. So if I'm doing some kind of research on something that I know there's data on the internet, as opposed to, you know, qualified data like ours, I'll go to try 3 or 4 of those things, and I'll find out, you know, what you'll usually find is that one of them is way better at answering it than another one, depending on the way the question is. And that is a way to get comfortable with the kinds of questions you can ask. But I think, you know, pretty soon, everybody in business is going to have access to tailored, professional-oriented systems like Galileo. like if you're a lawyer or if you're a CFO or if you're a marketing professional, and you'll go to that thing, you'll use it. But like for me, like I was doing, you know, I've been doing a lot of analysis on revenue per employee in different companies to think about productivity. So I wanted to do revenue by employee analysis of, you know, the top 10 tech companies, the top 10 companies in consumer goods. Then I wanted to look at their growth rate. Then I wanted to look at their market caps. Then I wanted to look to their price to earnings. Boom, I got all that stuff into a table.
Right.
In Gemini, instead of spending the entire weekend trying to find all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think trying things like that on the public internet will teach you what's capable. And then, you know, you get your hands on tools like Galileo and others, and you know, you'll suddenly realize you become an expert faster than you realized.
Yeah, really, truly amazing. So I recently read somewhere that HR is positioned to be the hero of responsible AI in our organizations. So, you know, we just talked a bit about how we can start to think about upskilling, but what do you think about this statement and how do you think HR needs to upskill to take advantage of this opportunity?
Well, I mean, responsible AI is not, it's going to be a CEO, CFO problem, not just an HR problem. You know, the AI Act was just passed in Europe this week. The New York State, the state of Illinois, other states are now putting in place laws. And if you use AI for hiring and you're accused of discrimination, you're going to have to go to court to defend the AI you're using. So the vendors, of course, are taking a lot of responsibility for this, but ultimately it's not their responsibility if you use their tool and you do something that's illegal.
Right.
So I think for HR people, for recruiting in particular, and pay things, you just have to know what the laws are and talk to the vendors and make sure that the vendors are going through the various forms of testing. But the new domain, I mean, the new, you know, initiative that's taking place, it's called AI governance. It's kind of a weird word, but there's a whole body of research and tools and methodologies being developed for testing the AI within your company so that your company, your CIO, your CFO and your legal department feel comfortable that what you're doing is safe and you're not using proprietary information. Like if you work for Disney and you're out there looking for content on ChatGPT, you know, you're probably not going to do it because you don't want to get access to proprietary content and inadvertently bring it into Disney and get sued, right?
Right.
I mean, so this is like GDPR. GDPR did this for data privacy. We're going to have a similar set of governance domains inside of the whole company, and HR will be a part of that. And the interesting thing about it for me is there's vendors now trying to build tools to govern all the AI systems inside of a company so we know who's responsible for which ones, how have they been tested, what data do they have access to, what is the security and the authentication of that data so that it's not, you know, reaching the wrong person. A lot of it is kind of IT management, data management, but I think that's going to be bigger than HR. And I think the HR organization is just going to be part of this group of people in the company. A lot of the companies we talk to now about Galileo want it, but then they got to go to the IT group, and the IT group asks us a whole bunch of questions about where the data come from and how does the system work. And so we have to go through that with everybody. And I think that's basically where this is going to go. And because it's a company-wide risk issue if you've got a bunch of, you know, wacky AI doing things inside the company that you don't like.
Yeah. But to your point earlier about, you know, training AI, training your bots to, you know, have a diversity lens and have, you know, employee relations or employee legislation lens and all that stuff, I think there is a huge opportunity for HR to be a critical partner as we think about employee-facing tools.
Well, that's, you know, that's if you think about that weird thing that Google did with the African-American, you know, faces coming up from George Washington, and that's so strange. You know, inside of a company, every generative AI system that's being trained, like we know what's in ours because it's the only content it is content that we put in it. But there's going to be issues where HR is going to be involved in what content is put into the system, how we're going to keep it up to date, especially if it has to do with employee programs and benefits and things. So there's going to be plenty of things for HR people to do here.
Yeah, for sure. So we did talk a lot about opportunities for AI in HR today. And as you know, many of our listeners are HR professionals. Let's take a step back and get a little bit broader, back to our original conversation or the beginning of our conversation. Where do you think some of the other big areas of opportunity are for our function this year?
Well, I mean, the applications of AI are everywhere. I think talent intelligence is another big one, which is really, you know, how do we take the data provided by AI and use it for other things like pay equity, sourcing, location analysis, identifying leaders. We're doing a project with Heidrick & Struggles where they're using AI to identify latent leaders in the company that haven't been found. And outside of that, I think the really big issues for HR are what we call systemic HR, which is getting rid of the functional silos in HR and bringing them together into more agile consulting solution oriented teams that can go out and work on, you know, initiatives and projects that are business initiatives, not HR initiatives, as a group. And I think we've been doing a lot of work on systemic HR the last couple of months, and we're basically doing a monthly program every month now on this. So, and that means upskilling in HR, creating a T-shaped career for HR professionals where you may be deep in one domain, but you're also very horizontal and you understand the cross domains, and then moving HR people around so that they can develop their skills in different parts of the company, in different domains of the HR profession, in different geographies, to upskill the HR team. Because, you know, there's going to be a slowdown in the economy, you know, relatively soon at some point. And then everybody's going to say, well, HR, what are you going to do to, you know, save money around here?
Right.
Happen. So, you know, we want to be talent dense inside of HR. I mean, what we don't want to have is a whole bunch of people in HR that are just generalists doing bureaucratic work. And then somebody points their finger at us and says, hey, you guys are pointing at us. Well, we're going to point at you.
Yeah.
What are you doing to clean up your act? So, you know, I think we're going to be running companies with fewer HR people per employee over time because of the powers of HR. So I'd say a lot of it is that. And then, you know, just very simple staying aligned with the company's issues and not going back to the traditional silos. We're doing this big, lot of research on talent acquisition right now. And talent acquisition executives are telling us we're not treated like a strategic partner. They throw job recs over to us like we're the Amazon fulfillment center and we're supposed to fill all these jobs all the time. Well, maybe we don't. A, it's not easy to fill them. B, maybe some of these jobs should be filled internally. C, maybe we should have more strategic relationships with you guys about why you're trying to hire all these people to maybe convince you that maybe that's not the right approach. And we know where the talent is in the outside market and we know what's going on in the outside market. Why aren't you asking us for advice on the plans on where the company's trying to go? That's not everybody, but that's about almost three quarters of the talent acquisition leaders we just surveyed said we're not even included in the workforce planning discussions going on in the company.
Wow.
So there's lots of things we can do to, you know, create a more systemic strategic function ourselves. And those things are constantly going on. One more thing that I think is going to be really big this year is cleaning up L&D. You know, L&D is this massively complicated, multifunctional, distributed part of HR where we've got training in all sorts of different domains all over the company, operational training, sales training, marketing, technical training, leadership development, lots and lots of content, lots and lots of systems. And, you know, companies do these audits. We used to do this at Deloitte, Naomi. We go into a company, we find out they're spending four times as much on L&D than they thought they were. Well, AI can actually cut through a lot of that and give employees access to information that they never knew how to find.
Right, yeah.
So I think there's going to be a couple of years of really interesting cleaning up these massively complex LMS, you know, backends and putting generative stuff on top of it for a while and then eventually eating into it and simplifying the learning and development process and making it much, much more dynamic. And I've talked to a lot of companies that are really excited about that. So that's another really cool thing that's going to be happening.
Yeah, sounds like amazing opportunities for our listeners in HR. So it feels like there's a lot on our plates right now, but really exciting things to come if you're curious and have growth mindset and have that systemic approach to solving problems, which Josh and I talked a little bit about last year and continues to be a really, really important theme this year. So Josh, we are unfortunately near the end of our hour together, but Mark and I like to end each of our episodes on a high note, also known as a feel good. So what are you feeling good about today?
I am looking out at a beautiful blue sky, sunny day, spring flowers, and I am just glad we're entering a new season, to be honest.
Yes, I agree.
This time of the year is always such an energizing time of the year, and hopefully it gets everybody excited about the year ahead.
Great. Well, besides some upcoming family vacation in the sun for me, last you and I spoke on our show, we were launching our Foresight Plus community for our CHROs. I can't believe it was a year ago, but I'm feeling really good about how the community is evolving and we're getting ready to launch our next cohort. So feeling good also about springing, my favorite time of the year when it starts to become a bit sunny, and also just a great, great couple of months ahead as we get our new cohorts on board. So it seems like a very positive time of year, and hopefully everything goes well with Galileo. I really look forward to digging into it. And I think we all know where to find Josh, but Josh, any tidbits of where we can find you other than LinkedIn and on your website?
Well, I'm obviously online. I'm going to virtually every conference of the year. So you should be able to find me at most of the tech conferences. And for those of you that haven't heard about our conference, Irresistible, May 20th through 22nd, we only can support 450 people, but and it will fill up. So for those of you that are thinking about spending some time on some really senior HR topics, we hope you can join us there.
Yeah, amazing. I wish I could make it this year. Unfortunately, not this year, but maybe next year. I'm hoping. But thank you so much again, Josh, for bringing your insights to Foresight. It's always such a pleasure. And until next time, everyone, take care. Thanks for listening to Foresight. If you enjoyed the episode, we would love to hear from you. Leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Your ratings and reviews also help more people like you find our show so that we can reach more future forward leaders and achieve our mission of making work better.
Follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Future Forward and sign up for our weekly newsletter, Foresight, on our website, futureforward.com.
That's FutureForward.com, where we share even more about the new world of work.
Talk to you next week.